Good morning, everyone. It's good to see everyone here again this morning. You know, we are 1 week closer to our reward, whatever that reward might be, eternal life, eternal punishment. We are 1 week closer than we were when I stood up here last Sunday. Are we looking forward to it? Are we living with excited expectation of it, or are we caught up with the cares of the world? The lesson this morning is one that I tried to make as simple as possible, not so that you could understand it, but so that you could remember it. There are some lessons that I remember. The ones that I remember from years and years ago was where they were so simple. So I want you to remember this lesson, because I want you to do something with it. I want you to take this lesson and share it with as many people as you can, because everybody needs to understand this. So we're going to talk about, which state are you in? And if someone asks you this question, we would say, well, we're in Ohio. That would be the first thing that we would say. But we're going to see that there are some different states that all of us are going to fall into. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Again, if you have any questions about what is in this lesson, feel free to ask me about them, and we'll sit down with your Bible and study together. And if you are not a New Testament Christian, you need to be, and you need to think seriously about that. And again, I'll be glad to answer any of your questions with that. So which state are you in? We can look at this map and we can identify different states. It's easy to see them on here. As long as we are alive, we can change which state that we are in. That's true physically, that's true spiritually. But when Christ returns, we cannot change which state we are in. When we die, we cannot change which state we are in. And when time will be no more and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, we will find ourselves in one of two states. All of the information is going to be on the slides up here this morning. It's very simple. It took a long time. Took longer to make something like this than some others, but again, everything will be up here this morning. So what is the first state that you think that we are in? I would suggest to you, it's the state of innocence. And when we think about the state of innocence, in Matthew 18:1, at that time the disciples came to Jesus saying, "Who then is greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" Then Jesus called a little child to him, set him in the midst of them, and said, "Assuredly, I say to you, unless you are converted and become as little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven." We all recognize that children are innocent. They are not born in sin. Ezekiel 18:20 tells us, "The soul who sins shall die. The son shall not bear the guilt of the father, nor the father bear the guilt of the son. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon himself, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon himself." So we each bear our own righteousness or our own guilt. And Ezekiel says, the soul who sins shall die. Well, then that brings up the question, what is sin? 1 John 3:4, whoever commits sin transgresses also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. So we understand that sin is something that you commit, you transgress. Some religious beliefs believe that you are born with sin, that you inherit sin. The Bible doesn't teach that. It says we commit sins. The idea that you inherit sin is like sin is passed from one person to another. It's like taking a bag of potatoes. bag of potatoes, pass it to this person, right on down the line. No, the Bible doesn't teach that. The soul that sins, it shall die. So the first state that all of us are in is a state of innocence. Well, what is the second state? I would suggest to you that the second state is a state of condemnation. That's going to be a lot different than innocence, but we are going to move from innocence, a state of innocence, to a state of condemnation. But what is condemnation? Well, in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 20, now a mediator does not mediate for one only, but God is one. Is the law then against the promises of God? Certainly not. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, truly righteousness would have been by the law. But the scripture has confined all under sin, that the promise by faith in Christ Jesus might be given to those who believe. So condemnation, we are condemned. Why are we condemned? Because we are found under sin. The scripture has confined all under sin. We've all sinned, every one of us. And again, back to class, that was the purpose of the law, to point out that man cannot save himself. And in Mark 16:16, he who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. Some translations, I believe, says will be damned. We do not believe we will be condemned. We fall into the state of condemnation. Well, that sounds pretty harsh. We need to look at that a little bit closer. Why? Why did we go from the state of innocence to a state of being condemned? Well, our sins separate us from God. Isaiah 59:2. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. So we are born in innocence, and then at a certain point, we are tempted to sin, and we give in to sin, and then we are separated from God. And when we are separated from God, we are lost. We are without hope. And until we obey the gospel of Christ and are washed in his blood through baptism, we're separated from God and we stand condemned. So there are two ways to leave the state of innocence. Back to the first state. There's two ways to leave it. One is we die. That's the way we can leave the state of innocence. Or we can go into the state of condemnation. Again, Isaiah 59:2. Your iniquities have separated you from your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that you will not hear. So if we are in the state of innocence and we die, what's going to happen? Well, since we aren't in a state of condemnation, we're going to have eternal life. We are going to go to paradise. This child dies, this young person dies, they have no sin in their life. They are going to be ushered in to paradise. So that's one way that we can leave the state of innocence. Well, say we pass through the state of innocence into the state of condemnation. What happens if we die in the state of condemnation? We aren't going to go to paradise and have eternal life because we saw that God, because of our sins, we are separated from God. So we can get out of the state of condemnation. We leave that and enter the next state. But if we are in the state of condemnation, the only place that we can go is to eternal death because we have sins. So if we are innocent and we die, we're going to be ushered into eternal life. But if we pass out of that state of innocence and we are in a state of condemnation and we die, we're going to be separated from God and have eternal death. But there's more than these two states. What's another state that we are going to be in? What's that third state? That's justification. That's kind of a big word, but it's easy to understand. And in 1 Corinthians 6:9, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? And this is one of the passages we were looking at this morning. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. But you were washed, you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. So we see when someone is justified, that they are in that state of condemnation, but something takes place, something is done for them, and they are justified and made innocent again. They become innocent. And James chapter 2, verse 24 says, you see then that a man is justified. There's our word justified and justification. He's justified by works and not by faith only. So some people will say, all you have to do is believe and you're going to go straight to heaven. But again, that's man's words, not God's words. And James goes on to say in verse 25, likewise, was not Rahab the harlot? She was also justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out another way. For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. When we have faith and works and we act on that faith, we are going to be justified. That's why you go back to Mark 16:16. He that believeth, that's faith, and is baptized, that's acting out, that's our part on that, shall be saved. So how do we get out of the state of condemnation to justification? We must leave condemnation and enter justification. And again, with these words that are up here, you look at this: innocent, condemned, justified. What kind of words are those? Those are legal terms. Those are legal terms. You think of a courtroom. All of us are either going to be innocent, we are going to be condemned, or we are going to be justified. If you don't obey the gospel of Jesus, you will not have an attorney to represent you on the judgment day. So you think about this. And Galatians 3:20 talks about Christ being our mediator. So when we are standing in the judgment, and this is a way to help our minds, we don't know exactly what that's going to be like, but this courtroom picture is going to help us to understand what that is going to be like. We are going to stand before the judge. We are going to stand before the lawgiver. And it's either going to be innocent or guilty. But we know that we've all sinned. If you were to go and be called into the court here in Montgomery County, would you want to represent yourself or would you want to have a qualified attorney? You would want a qualified attorney. You would want a mediator, a go-between. Who better to have as a mediator than Christ? Than Christ. If you don't obey the gospel, you will not have an attorney to represent you on the judgment day. Baptism puts us into Christ. Anyone not found in him on judgment day will be cast away. People who obey the gospel are added to the body of Christ and must live faithfully until death. So we have sinned. Every one of us in here can list our own catalog of sins. But when we are washed in the blood of Christ, we are made clean, we are made whole, we are reconciled, we are redeemed, we are justified. Justified. And again, a simple way, I remember from years ago, I've heard explained this, we are justified. It's just as if I had never sinned. We're justified. The blood of Christ justifies us, and then we can stand before God clean and holy before Him. So every creature on God's earth is going to be in either one of these states. All of us, everyone outside of these doors are either going to be innocent, they're going to be condemned, or justified. So we've got these different states. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. So we need to ask ourselves, where are we headed? You know, I still like to do things the old-fashioned way. And we were talking yesterday about taking our trip next month. So what do? I go to our map drawer and pull out our maps and start showing Carol, this is how we can go. This is the route we can take. See, we are in a state now and we're going to go to another state. We all understand that. We all understand that physically. We want to follow the right route to get us to the right place. We follow the wrong map, it's going to take us to the wrong place. If you're just going somewhere in a car, that may not be that big of a deal. But when we think about our soul that is eternal, where will our final destination be? Where are we on this chart? And when you think about this reconciliation, this justification, this redemption, and you think about sin, you just think about, what does sin do to us? It's like these fishing lures up here. Sin captivates us. It gets our attention. It gets our attention. It's something sparkly, something shiny. The lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life. And what do? We go for it. Then what happens with this trap? Satan captures us. We saw this sin. We were attracted to it. We give in to this sin. We're captured. Then when Satan captures us, what does he do? We're held in bondage. We become servants of sin. Because whoever we serve, we are a servant to that person, whether to Satan or to Christ. So we're held in bondage. But then what did Christ do? Christ came and paid the ransom. What was the ransom price? The most expensive thing that there was. It was the precious blood of the Lamb of God. He paid that price. So Christ redeems us. He buys us. And then we become not a servant of Satan, not a servant of sin, but a servant of Christ. So these five different states of man, where are we headed? We don't want to be in that state of condemnation and die in that state of condemnation, because if we do, all we have to look forward to, and that's not a good choice of words, all that we will have is eternal death, eternal torment. And again, every one of us is in one of these three states. As long as we are alive, we can change which state we are in. We need to pray to God, if we are not in a state of justification, that He gives us time and days to make that change. Because when Christ returns, we can't change a thing. There's no second chances. There's no gospel of do-overs. When we die, we cannot change which state we are in. You look at the account of the rich man and Lazarus, and there's that great gulf fixed where people can't go back and forth. They can't come back here. And again, when time will be no more and this earth melts away, we are all going to find ourselves in one of two different states. It's either going to be heaven or it's going to be hell. Matthew 25, verse 31, when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him. You just think of this judgment scene. Christ coming in his glory, coming in the clouds, and all the holy angels with him. And all the nations will be gathered before him. And he's going to separate them one from another as the shepherd divides the sheep from the goats. And he will set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then the king will say to those on his right hand, and these are the words that we want to hear, friend. Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. You see, God, we know from the book of Ephesians, God had the church in his mind before the foundation of the world, the church. That's us, the called out, the redeemed, the reconciled, the justified. We want to hear that. But in verse 41, then he will also say to those on the left hand, depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Friends, right there are three of the saddest words in the Bible. Depart from me. Depart from me. We do not want to hear those words. So there's only five states, two final states, and we are all either in a state of innocence, of condemnation, or justification. Friend, if we are not in that state of justification, we need to make sure we are. We need to make sure we are justified today. We shouldn't let anything stop us. Friends, if there's anyone here this morning that needs to respond to the gospel invitation, we invite you to come forward now as we stand and sing.